Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows? Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Job 9. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Job 9. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with them, whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. For he breaketh me with a tempest, and multiplieth my wounds without cause. He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filleth me with bitterness. If I speak of strength, lo, he is strong. And if of judgment, who shall set me a time to plead? If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Though I were perfect, yet would I not know my soul. I would despise my life. This is one thing, therefore I said it. He destroyeth the perfect and the wicked. If the scourge slay suddenly, He will laugh at the trial of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covereth the faces of the judges thereof, if not, where and who is he? And now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint, I will leave off my heaviness and comfort myself. I am afraid of all my sorrows. I know that thou wilt not hold me innocent. If I be wicked, why then labor I in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and my own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Merciful Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then by renewal thou wast given in other Lord's day, we have been the recipients of many blessings from above. And then we ask thee that we grow not insensible and hardened under all those blessings, and that we may be spared from provoking thee in special ways to thy face, that thou shalt remove those blessings. Then thou hast given us thy holy word, also for instruction in that respect. Then we read in the scriptures of the great blessings, the great privileges that thou hast given unto Israel. Thou hast placed thy name upon them, and in this day, on account of crucifying their Savior, then there is still a veil upon them. May it please thee to remove that veil. Thou hast given the example of the churches of Asia Minor, where the candlestick shone so brightly, where thou hast called them to repent. And then in this day, then the candlestick has been removed, and there is darkness, O Lord. May it please thee to work lovely and irresistibly by thy Spirit. It is all free and sovereign grace. Thou hast chosen a people, and thou wert gathering that people unto thyself. But thou wast also appointed the means to that end. And then how needful each time by renewal to try to humbly beg of thee that thy word may be blessed. The prophet of old has declared, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. O Lord, may it then please thee in this evening hour to bless thy word for the coming of thy kingdom, that sinners may be pricked in their heart, that sinners may be drawn by thy love, won over for thy service, And then they shall be given to say, Lord, what must I do? Wilt thou remember thy Zion? Thou knowest where they are encamped. Wilt thou grant the further leadings? Wilt thou so bless in this day wherein this morning a word and sacrament has been administered? Then in thy great mercy, then thou granteth unto us and our children the gospel which we may hear with our ears, and the gospel which we may see with our eyes. But, O Lord, then it is necessary by thy Spirit, and that is necessary each time by renewal, that our ears are opened, that our eyes are opened, that our hearts are opened. Wilt thou do it in this evening hour? To that end, bless the manifold means of grace, as thou wast promised to do it in thy word. Bless the means of grace in the church on the Lord's day, with the instruction of the youth, the house visitations, and all the ways for thy blessing. Bless the means of grace in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers to that end? They have heard in this morning hour what they have promised. May they be given to beg of thee for thy help and for thy blessing. Bless thy holy word and our Christian school. Wilt thou remember and help the school board also in this week when they hope to meet? Wilt thou gather with them with their weighty and responsible task? Remember all those that may labor in the school, in the way of administration, in the way of instruction. Grant also traveling mercies. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. Wilt thou remember our mission field also in this week, when our brother elder, as a deputy of the mission board, together with one of thy servants, hopes to travel to the mission field. The administrator has already traveled this week. Thou wast given traveling mercies, and thou knowest all that stands before them, the many meetings, the gatherings, the visiting. Lord, may they be given to see and may be given to hear of thine own work in the hearts of sinners. That is the purpose of mission work. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to and fro. We commend unto thee a young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony toward the end of this week. May they be given to beg of thee that thou may be present in a special way, begging for thy special blessing, thy favor, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies to that end? And wilt thou remember them, where it shall also be a solemn day? A brother with a dreadful disease in the past week in the hospital, discharged yesterday evening, not able to be present with his dear wife. And, O Lord, an other brother who in the past was called upon to bring his dear girlfriend to the grave, oh, do uphold him in that day. A grandfather with a dreaded disease, where treatments are planned in the future, wilt thou so grant a proper measure of joy? Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones? Remember the elderly ones? Remember the sick and afflicted ones, those that are struggling with pain weariness of the body, fears and concerns, we commend them all unto thee. May thy speaking be sanctified. Remember the handicapped ones, the crosses, the burdens. Remember all the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, parents and children. When it is not so, wilt thou grant repentance? What has been separated, wilt thou bring it together? Remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our poor nation, the leaders federally, provincially, in the cities, in the towns, also in our town, Lord. We have departed so far from thy word and from thy institutions. Then the sins of this nation, they cry unto heaven for vengeance and for punishment. Wilt thou grant in these dark and solemn times that we and our children may be given to see the signs of the times. Wilt thou grant unto thy church to turn from their evil and worldly way, and that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, O Lord, may still be declared that there is such a rich and such a willing Savior for black and vile sinners. Magnify then thy grace and thy wonders in the midst of us and our children. Wilt thou work in the hearts of young and old, then by renewal, then we commend those two little children who have received the sign and the seal of the covenant in this morning. Oh, wilt thou by thy grace, by thy spirit, do for them what is signified therein. Wilt thou grant unto the parents exercises to that end. Lord, now by renewal on this day, thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for everything. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help, send help from the sanctuary, and strengthen out of Zion. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou remove everything that could be a hindrance, those in their dwellings lawfully hindered, that may listen along. Oh, do grant them also thy blessing. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our transgressions. For Christ's sake only, amen. Psalter 244, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. In thy wrath our spirits language sinful neath thy searching eye. All our days are passed in anguish, in thy wrath we pine and die. And what follows, Psalter 244, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 5, the question and answers 12 through 15. Question 12. Since then by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? Answer. God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer. By no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Answer, for one who was very man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who was also very God. Lord's Day 5 speaks of God's justice requiring satisfaction for man's deliverance. With four thoughts in the first place, a surrendering acknowledgement. Secondly, a righteous demand. Thirdly, a serious searching. And fourthly, a needed mediator. God's justice requiring satisfaction for man's deliverance. A surrendering acknowledgement, as we find it in question 12. A righteous demand in the answer 12. A serious searching in 13 and 14. And a needed mediator in number 15, the first, a surrendering acknowledgement. Beloved congregation, we read over this Lord's Day the second part of man's deliverance. Is that not a wonder that there is deliverance proclaimed for us and our children? But shall it be well? Our boys and girls can understand it. If we are very sick and we hear of a doctor that is able to make us better, that grants hope. But if we stay home and do not go to that doctor, then that message is not going to profit us. Or if such a doctor shall give us a medicine to take, a word is written on that medicine, how to take it, how often, and how it may be blessed. But if you leave that medicine in the cabinet, then it shall not profit. And to that end, young and old, how is it now with the deliverance of our soul? Have we become earnest? Be honest before the Lord and with your never-dying soul. It is free and sovereign grace from the beginning to the end. But now it has pleased the Lord to give the means of grace that a church may be gathered and may be delivered. And how is it now with those means of grace? Do we deal with them the same as we deal in our temporal life? To give an example, there is not one farmer amongst us that can make one seed to grow. Nevertheless, in the springtime, then how diligent such a farmer is, and we can multiply it out. May it please the Lord to bless his word, that it may become earnest for us and our children. Maybe there are those that say, but I am so busy in my temporal life to earn a living. But tell me then in this evening, when the angel of death comes, and if we may say it that way, then you say, death, I am so busy. I have so much to do. Then you understand it. It shall have no avail. Are we many times busy, and that we think, may now ask you, my unconverted fellow travelers, when shall you now become earnest concerning the saving and the delivering of your soul? Oh, do not be like a Galileo. We read that he cared for none of these things. Be not like a Felix. When he has heard a serious sermon, when Paul has preached to him and his wife, then we read that he was given to tremble. But he said, go thy way this time. When I find a more convenient season, then I shall call for you. And we never read, congregation, that convenient season has come. Do you sometimes think about it? When we go home on the Sabbath evening, that it could be the last time that we are privileged to enter God's house. The last time when we may be in church to hear the word of God. And to that end, may you be given to earnestly seek for that one thing needful of man's deliverance. What a wisdom is necessary to seek to deal with seeking souls. On the one hand, to not lay hands on so hastily, to rest upon a change, emotions, feelings, a text. On the other hand, to not discourage, and to tell souls that we must be converted like Saul, we must learn the same things. But John Newton has said, as a general rule, then the life of a true Christian is not like a mushroom, and boys and girls, you know it. Sometime you look on the lawn, and all of a sudden, there is a mushroom that was not there the day before. But John Newton says it is the general way that the Lord holds with His church, that it is more a gradual way. It represents more an oak tree. Concerning the dealing with souls, then what an instruction we have in Ruth 2. Then that Ruth was given to glean on the fields of Boaz. Boaz has spoken to her. She has sat at his table. He has reached her parched corn. She wasn't able to glean much. Her cup was running over. A holy joy and desire to go to Nehemiah to tell what the Lord has done. And then we read that she was given to show what she has gleaned. And then her mother-in-law has asked, where hast thou gleaned? And then she could tell on the field of Boaz, given to relate wonderful things. And then Nehemiah has listened, and she has simply stated, he is near of kin to us, and he is our next kinsman. That's Ruth. You are a widow. You need that kinsman. But Ruth did not go in further into it. She did not understand it. She was happy on the field with Boaz when she would glean. And then she was simply given to say, Boaz has said that I must glean on this field till the end of barley harvest, that I must be with those young men. And what did Nehemiah then said? Ruth, she did not say she must be with those young men, because she needed Boaz as a kinsman. But she has simply stated, then you do well that you glean together with those maidens on the field of Boaz. The second part of man's deliverance. And then in this Lord's Day, it is a Lord's Day that separates the precious from the vile, but also much encouragement for the true child of God, those who have become a true seeker. And then we read, 'tis so different, in question 12 in Lord's Day number 5, than the Lord's Day before we have heard it, in Lord's Day number 3, then such a soul was secretly putting the blame on the Lord. We have heard in Lord's Day number 4 that the soul had many excuses. But now in this Lord's Day, then the question 12, that begins, since then. Thus then we read of an acknowledgement, a bowing. I read in Micah 7 verse 9, that the prophet has said, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and bring me forth to judgment, and he shall bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. It is written in Hebrews 10 verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 120, my flesh trembleth because of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Thus in this Lord's Day, then we have a sinner that has been deeply uncovered since then by the righteous judgment of God. We deserve temporal and eternal punishment, bowing under the justice of God. Because when the Lord works, then we love the Lord fully. We love all His attributes. We do not desire another God than is declared in the Holy Scriptures. And then we also love His justice. In this Lord's Day, then the seeking sinner may be exercised with the glory of God. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, not to go lost. But is there then a way by which we may escape that punishment? We find the escaping of punishment among all peoples, among the nations of the earth, on account of that innate knowledge wherewith we were created, an impression that there is a higher supreme God, and yet an impression of right and wrong, an impression of sin, than we find in all religions pretty well, and nearly among all people, we would say all people, that there is a certain impression that there is a just higher supreme God who must punish sin. And what a sincerity. Many times we read in false religions and among heathendom that put us and our children to shame, wherewith that innate knowledge, with an impression that their sin must be punished, then what is seeking there is, maybe boys and girls, you have read in church history, when those early missionaries went to Europe, Boniface and Willibrord, and where they were worshiping those heathens, that there was a certain time that one of those missionaries have come upon a sacrifice, that tribe had an impression that their gods were angry with them, that a sacrifice needed to be made, and that the lot was cast that fell because it had to be a good sacrifice, not an old person that was ready to die, a youth in their strength, and that such a youth was being sacrificed. Thus among the nations of the earth, among false religions, then there is an impression that sin must be punished, that a sacrifice is needed. And alas, when we think of the Western nations where the gospel has been preached and where our nations have turned so far from the truth of God's word, then in many churches how little impression there is of that holy and majestic God who must and shall punish sin temporally and eternally. That is far gone. And how is it now with us? How do we compare with the heathens? When sometime we read such a sincerity in that respect, the need for a sacrifice, that they were even willing to sacrifice a youth out of their tribe, that anger may be appeased. If we think of the time of the Reformation, Then we read of Roman Catholics so concerned and need for this deliverance that they were willing to give their last money that their loved ones may be delivered out of purgatory. And how is it now with that sincerity, earnestness amongst us? What is our answer, congregation? Are we sincere? Are we earnest? Do we really believe that we need to be delivered from our sins? Has sin truly become a burden? When the Lord works, then it becomes a burden. Or is it still a delight? This Lord's Day is a separating Lord's Day. Sin must and shall be punished temporally and eternally. In this Lord's Day, we have a sinner that has been further uncovered concerning their lost condition, agreeing, bowing under the justice of God, but now the separating mark. Then we can examine ourselves. This Lord's Day separates between a childlike fear and a slavish fear. That slavish fear, when we are a slave. Oh, of course, there can be slaves that love their master. But many slaves that they only work because they have to and are afraid of punishment. But now that childlike fear that is a child, that is love for its parents. And on account of that love, a desire to please. Thus a separating Lord's Day, all concerning the justice of God, an impression thereof, is so missed in our day. The Lord still has a people. The Lord still converts his people. The same as Adam and Eve are converted. But when there is not a profound impression of the holiness, the righteousness, and the justice of God, when that godly sorrow is so missed, then in the church shall there so come a confession and a profession without true godliness. But when the Lord works by his Spirit, then there comes that separating work. And now in that question, then there is a special mark of grace. And may that be encouragement for seeking souls. And be again received into favor. Thus not only to escape the punishment, but to be received into favor. Let us lay our hearts beside that question. Has that now become our earnest desire? Because to escape punishment, no one wants to go to hell. But without conversion, we cannot go to heaven. And it is still a privilege when we have an impression of these things. Can keep us from many sins, but for the true child of God, oh, then we see one bowing so low at the throne of grace, a flood of tears. Lord, thou art righteous, thou art holy, and I am such a big sinner. Transgressor from the womb, transgressed all thy commandments, and I am a sinner still. Lord, I have tried so hard to improve myself that I may live holy before thee, but a sinner still. We have a type in Leviticus 14 of an Israelite with her family that dwelt in a house. And when they were given to look at the walls, then it seems that there was leprosy in that house. And then such a father was called to go to the priest and say, it seems that there is leprosy in my house. Has that taken place, congregation? And then the priest would command that that house had to be completely emptied, because our children can understand it. If we have pictures and furniture in front of the wall, then there can be much hidden. But that house had to be completely emptied. And then the priest was to inspect it. It was not so clear. Wait 7 days. And then when that leprosy was detected, then it is written, then the stones and the mortars had to be removed. Where there was leprosy, brought to an unclean place, replaced with other stones. Are there souls that understand it, that have been so busy, oh, hoping that it may be improved, the Lord may be satisfied? But then we read further, when that priest would come by renewal, and the leprosy had been spread, that that house had to be completely taken down and brought to an unclean place. That is now the work of the Holy Spirit. But now in that question, oh, what an encouragement. Where the Lord is working, because that people, oh, that punishment shall be so awful, be under the wrath of God. Ah, that people, they are given to think of death and of eternity. Just not so much, it seems. There are still souls, but also the impression, are we sometimes shocked, people, that we can live under the message? Do we sometimes tell the Lord, Lord, have I now become so hard? All the blessings, all the callings, all the sermons, and that I live upon this earth as if there is no God, no death and eternity. Ach, Lord, wilt thou make my heart soft? Wilt thou come down with thy spirit and with thy power? But now, a separating statement, and there is a people upon the earth that may say amen to it, bowing at the throne of grace, since by thy righteous judgment deserve temporal and eternal punishment, and not a penny to pay, but now a prayer, whether there is a way to be delivered, to escape that punishment, and to be received into favor. That is now the mark of the true work of the Spirit. Because why does that people need that favor? On account of the love shed abroad in their heart. It's the work of the Spirit. They have a love to that just, that holy, good-doing God. Ah, they are given to tell the Lord how it is. that they cannot miss the Lord. Oh, that separation, that is so bitter, and therefore a bowing under the justice of God. No, the church does not ask to go lost, but a church exercised with God's glory, with his attributes, and with their salvation, and then they are given to ask and be restored into favor. Does that become our life, congregation? Be now honest. Because when the Lord works, then it goes about that favor. Remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Then there is a love for the Lord, for his attributes, for his day, for his house, for his people. Everything that is connected to the Lord, and be restored into that favor. Our second thought, a righteous demand. God will have his justice satisfied. What an answer. Instructor, goeth not so fast. It is true, there is spoken of man's deliverance, but we do not read in that answer immediately of the Lord Jesus Christ that is declared in this chapter. We may see Lord's Day number 5 as an Advent sermon. I read in Malachi 4 verse 2, unto you that fear my name, that is a people that needs the Lord's favor, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Oh, then there is hope, because concerning that favor, the true church, they experience many tokens of the Lord's favor and mercy. They are given to experience that the Lord is so patient and so long-suffering with them, that the Lord has not dealt in his justice, that they may still have a place upon the earth. That people has experienced many tokens of the Lord's favor, but the church is given to learn that they need to deliver, that justice needs to be satisfied, and that they need a Savior. And now concerning the rising of the Son of Righteousness, then in this Lord's Day, then the name of the Mediator is not declared, but our boys and girls can understand it when you look in the eastern sky. Oh, it is true, in the summer months, then you are still sleeping. But in the winter months, then when you look in the east, then we may be given to see that dark sky, that it begins to lighten. No, the sun is not yet risen, but then the Son of Righteousness, then in this Lord's Day, then a deliverer may be pointed to, a way that the church may escape that well-deserved punishment and be restored into favor, and to receive the forgiveness of all of their sins. God will have his justice satisfied. Many times there is skipped over that justice. There's the work of the Spirit to make room for that precious deliverer and Savior. We read in John 16, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And now God will have his justice satisfied. And therefore, we must make this full satisfaction for all of us. there needs to be satisfaction. The Lord is so holy, and His justice is so perfect that He cannot overlook one of our sins, but it requires perfect satisfaction. Have you become busy with that satisfaction? How is it, congregation? Are we busy with that satisfaction? Needs to be made. Shall be so terrible at the end of her life, there's no satisfaction when we still have that open standing depth that reaches to the heavens. When the Lord works, then we become busy with that satisfaction. Then we come in the workhouse. Is that also true? When we are brought up under the truth, when in catechism we have learned it, of that mediator that must be known in five ways, that His name is Jesus, He has come to save His people from their sins. Is that now true? For a people that is brought up under the truth, when the Lord begins to work and they become busy with that satisfaction, then do they immediately believe in Jesus? Of course, the Lord is free. With Paul, Saul, 3 days, brought to a knowledge of the Son of God, but in those 3 days on that street straight, he has learned the same lessons, that all his own righteousness, they were as filthy rags. Thus satisfaction must be made in two ways, by us or by another. The Lord has a people upon the earth that have tried to satisfy, but Ezekiel 8, dig deeper, son of man, and thou shalt find greater abomination. Are there such souls? All was sinners still. But the Lord shall not let His people despair, because He plants that hope in their heart. They have experienced the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, young people, it is such a good and such a blessed service. Satisfaction made by us, but they are taught, they shall experience. There's a deep way, but they are taught that they cannot make that satisfaction, but now the instructor, by us or by another, oh, young and old. Then in this evening, it may be declared that there is a deliverer that can save His people to the uttermost. Concerning, we have said that among heathen nations, there's also an impression of God, of His justice, the need for satisfaction. But there is yet a difference, because we have mentioned John 16, and there is mentioned a special sin, not for the heathens, because Jesus Christ has not been preached to them, but of sin because they believe not in Me. Thus that great sin when the gospel may be preached, a deliverer, such a precious and such a full deliverer, and that we believe not in him. Let us first sing Psalter 267, the fourth stanza. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. And what follows, 267, the four stanzas. God's justice requiring satisfaction for man's deliverance. a surrendering acknowledgement, a righteous demand, and now thirdly, a serious searching, a concerning a person that has a natural debt upon this earth, then there can be different ways. There can be one that makes their regular payments to satisfy their creditor. There can be another one that makes a payment once in a while, but that does make some payments. Thirdly, there can be one that makes no payments at all. Maybe when he gets the bill, boys and girls, he throws it in the garbage. Does not clear his debt. There can even be a fourth. One that has a great debt, that makes no payments, and that every day makes his debt greater. How is it with us, congregation? Are we busy with that debt? May I ask you, my unconverted fellow travelers, have you done what you could? Are you willing to forsake sin and the world? Are you as earnest about your soul as about your body? And then your answer shall condemn you. This Lord's Day, it goes about Romans 3, verse 19, that every mouth shall be stopped and that the world becomes guilty before God. And now when the Lord works, then such a one is given to experience that they need to be delivered. Oh, they are so happy when they may be as a hen at the throne of grace, thine handmaid, pouring out their heart those sweet and bitter tears. Oh, they are so happy when they may receive tokens of his favor and of his love. Nevertheless, the justice of God that needs to be satisfied. And then how busy such a soul becomes with their payments. Oh, at the beginning it can seem that it is going quite well. Repentance, reformation, tears, opening at the throne of grace, tokens of his favor, that they may have a hope to have a little beginning. But when that house, that leper's house, is emptied, stones removed, but leprous still, then the church learns, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature. Thus in question 14, an answer, it concerns one that has experienced that they cannot pay that debt themselves, that it is only becoming greater, and that the Lord demands punishment. And all has to be taught and learnt. If now such a seeking soul so desires for the favor of the Lord, if there could now come a time that becomes their desire, becomes more hopeless, but a desire to live holy before the Lord, if that was now possible, then for such a one, then there would still be two matters. In the first place, their original sin. And in the second place, all the sins which they have committed before that time on their account. Thus, even if they could come to the place where they could live perfectly before the Lord, still that great outstanding debt and a need for deliver, Lord, is there now a way that debt can be paid because it is such a heavy burden? Ah, Lord, I need thy favor. I cannot miss thee. None for God will not punish any other creature. Thus, when we read any other creature, then such a sinner is given to look elsewhere. Of course, the animals, they have only a body and not a soul. They cannot pay that debt. The angels, they are spirits, and they have not a body. Thus they cannot pay. What about the saints? In the Roman Catholic Church, then they are taught that there are saints that have lived so holy and that have extra good works that can help other ones to be saved. Then we would say how foolish that people is. Because the saints, they are all saved by free and sovereign grace through that precious mediator. Are there maybe Roman Catholics amongst us? What do I mean? For those seeking souls, how they can trust and rely, a good thought of an exercised child of God, what a trust they can put in office bearers, if they may be under the preaching of this minister or the reading service of that elder, than how often it can be, because that people in that respect also learn that they are idol worshippers. And the Lord has said, thou shalt have no other God before me. Then the church shall be taught that it cannot pay their debt. None for first will God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Do you hear, congregation? No mortal creature, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. No mere creature. And yet, if we do not have a deliverer, and a mediator. No mere creature can. But if we refuse to repent and to believe, as Christ has commanded in Mark 1, verse 15, when we go lost, not able and have to, then we shall wish that we are burnt up to ashes, and it shall never take place. But in this evening, a needed mediator, then we have said it is the dawning of the day. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and the sky is becoming light. The day of deliverance, the proclamation of that precious Savior, that is what this Lord's Day goes about. A mediator, man, righteous man in God, a mediator that is able to save to the uttermost. This congregation, there is not one that cannot say that it is impossible, because that precious mediator, we have heard it out of Job 9, that book speaks much of the justice of God. How can man be just before God? And then there is spoken of that daysman. One, we hope to hear the Lord willing in the next Lord's Day, that mediator further declared. One that can lay his hands upon both. Acts 4, verse 12. None other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard in this evening hour that thy justice must be satisfied. And then we have heard that there is spoken of a mediator. He is proclaimed in thy holy word. A Lord, work then lovingly and irresistibly in the hearts of dead sinners, that they may be quickened. And wilt thou teach and lead thy people further? We may commence another week. Lord, we humbly ask thee to watch, to keep us. Remember the mothers in the home. Remember at work. Remember on the way. Remember in school also our young people who are studying in institutions of higher learning. Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected and above all from an unprepared death? Lord, wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou grant thy gracious help tomorrow evening with the instruction of the youth that was promised to bless thy word? Work from generation to generation. Do a great work amongst us. May many more be placed under the glorious banner of King Jesus. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Watch over us in the night. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 363, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From the depths do I invoke thee, O Lord, to me incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear. And what follows, Psalter 363, the first three stanzas. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Yes.